Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how are you?
I am well. How are you, Terry?
I'm quite well, quite well. We're better than, say, last week.
Oh, you were sick last week? I didn't even notice.
Yeah. I was sort of sore throat and I didn't take time off work, but I wasn't doing football or anything. So, I was kind of...
Well, you remained very professional.
I was glad. Well, I think it was after we recorded the last episode, but in the interim of this one.
Well,
so I was kind of glad we got to push this recording back a couple of days.
Yeah, it kind of helped. And I should say as well for the listeners that we put up episode 2 and 3, if you haven't listened to them, at the same time. Because we're still sort of experimenting with what's the best way to do it, like by audio or like by Skype and things like that. So the third one is definitely more listenable than the second. I still think the second one is fine. The levels just start off kind of low. But we're trying it a different method altogether. I am currently wearing a headset with a microphone. I feel very professional.
Future.
But
guess who sold the Whitman place?
What episode are we looking at today, Terry?
We are looking at season 4, episode 4, Lisa the Beauty Queen.
Now, I should say even before we even get started, when I seen the first few episodes of season 4, I'm seeing titles like Streetcar Named Marge, Lisa the Beauty Queen, and like normally by default, Marge and Lisa episodes aren't the best. But I must say,
I'm with you there.
Before we even get into it, exactly why I was very pleasantly surprised by this episode.
I think it's as the seasons go on and they're like Marge and Lisa episodes, then they drop off. Like the quality is so high in these early seasons throughout.
Yeah,
that it could be a Lisa episode, it could be a Marge episode. It's still really, really good.
It's true. It's damn true.
A few little factoids or trivia about this episode.
Yes, sir.
It finished 28 in the Nielsen ratings for the week of October 12th to the 18th, 1992.
92.
At a rating of 12.0. Yeah, 92. Crazy.
I know. Jesus Christ.
Still going. Still going. I wonder how they're actually going to end the show. Anyway.
I mean, like, it doesn't even seem like the sort of show that could have an ending. You know what I mean? Like a definitive.
You have to end.
Like no one's gonna, you know, like they've just been gone for so long. Like it's just, it's hard to imagine.
Say one of the major voice talents gets sick or dies. Like it can't really go on. I know Harry Shearer had threatened to leave.
Yeah.
A couple of times, and like imagine if he wasn't there.
Yeah, how many voices would they lose?
Wouldn't be the same. Oh, God, like, you know, crazy.
Yeah, it's true, actually. That's what it's going to be. It's just going to be someone saying, all right, I've been doing it for 30 years. I wouldn't mind not doing it anymore.
Yeah. Just in terms of, I have a couple of little notes on production.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Basically, there was a lot of the writers were absent at the start of season 4.
All right.
And they were just like sort of brainstorming ideas for Homer the Heretic, last week's episode.
Yeah.
And one of the ideas they had from that episode that they couldn't use would be Lisa entering a beauty pageant. And then he sort of just sort of went off from there and actually figured out that they could make a whole episode. And they're like, oh, we'll put a load of songs in it, like to fill up the time. And they actually found they had more ideas from there. Personal lives and stuff, so they are able to fill out the episode. I have to say off the bat, I'm a fan of this episode.
Big time.
Look forward to getting into it.
There was a lot more.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot of laughs per minute, and that's one of the things that I associate best with The Simpsons at its peak is that, like, as far as laughs per minute go, I think it's pretty much number one of like
so far.
You know what I mean? Like as far as just actual, you know, comedies, whether it's animation or not, like I just think you get so much bang for your buck, like in these earlier seasons. And I think The Simpsons, yeah, more than any other show, had that, like, laughs per minute. They just kept going.
The only other show that I would compare it to, that, like, when I'm like constantly smiling or constantly, Seinfeld? Like, that's a really good joke. No.
Oh.
Father Ted.
Yeah.
Where I'm constantly like, oh, that's very funny. That's very funny. Like, I'm constantly like, have a smile on my face or like a little chuckle every now and then. It mightn't be like a whole hearty laugh, but it's always like even those little character bits or stuff like that.
It's just always funny.
So you're in rarefied air.
Yeah, it's true. It's quite rare that a show does that. But this is, I think, really, I know I probably say this every week, but this really seems like around the time when it started kicking into gear a bit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is the show that I remember. You know what I mean? Like, as
they
far
are
as how
firing, they are firing on pretty much all their cylinders.
Absolutely. Is there any more trivia or facts, or shall we jump on in?
That's pretty much it, really. Like, there's a few other ones, but we can sort of get to them as the episode goes on.
I should say as well, while we are recording, this is the Wales-Ireland match. So if you hear us trail off, or also since Terry is like 3 seconds ahead of me, if you hear him scream and then 3 seconds later me scream, that's what we're doing.
Currently one up. Come on, you boys in green.
Oh.
Koi big.
Okay,
so first scene of where we start the episode is the Springfield Elementary School Carnival, the happiest place on earth.
Straight off
already,
the bat, infringement.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, I forgot that it was part of this episode, and I was like, yes, excellent.
Very good. Before we even continue, we never actually mentioned the couch gag at the start.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of it? They like ran off film for a second and then ran back on film.
Yeah, that I like that. I you know what, looking back on these couch gags, I used to love them way more as a kid. Now I'm just kind of like, oh,
whatever.
You know, maybe it's because I've seen them so many times.
I don't think I've ever cracked a smile from a couch gag.
Maybe when I was younger, I used to like the one where it went into like the big song and dance and the circus and stuff like that. Dun, 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 dun,
oh yeah.
Dun. I used to like that one, but otherwise, I would rate
them this all, one, you know, a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I find them all very meh though at the moment. Like,
they
it's
are
just,
meh.
They're
saving,
here.
Saving
it's
the
a good
stuff
idea
for the story.
Yeah, like it's a good idea to break up each episode now. You know, but
yeah,
at the same time, I am not overly impressed with them.
Yeah.
I used to be more as a child. So yeah, we are at the carnival.
Yes, sir.
And blue-haired lawyer comes up.
He's always against the Simpsons, this guy.
He's just against everybody, though. He's just hard-ass. Like, and he says, the happiest place on earth is a registered Disneyland copyright. You know,
well,
straight away.
It's just a small school carnival.
And it's heading for a great big lawsuit. You made a big mistake, Skinner.
This guy, he's just constantly on the rampage.
He's just always a thorn in everybody's side. But I love how Skinner just turns into badass mode.
Yeah.
You got an X-Green Beret, man. Now, I know Skinner, it's a murky topic for continuity, I guess, with his history.
Yeah, I don't think he is a Green Beret.
No, I don't think so either. But,
well, we know he's a liar.
Yeah, too right.
I
like
love
how he got,
I think we're going to say the same thing. Oh, the eye poke, yeah.
The eye poke first, and then it kicks the blue lawyer back. And then the other hired goon starts with a laugh.
That's the funniest bit. Like,
the
I love those jokes where they keep running and they're like running into the falling thing. But
yeah,
that was classic Skinner. Skinner's got to be one of my favorite characters.
He's been quite underused so far.
He has.
I haven't seen a load of them yet. So that was very nice to see. And then I love the little like tie you know, straight, and he's like, copyright expired. So that was a great way to start it off.
Yeah.
And then we're at the water sideshow thing, where Nelson gets very bored very quickly and just starts plowing Martin in the face with the water. Oh, yeah. they're like shooting water into clowns' mouths. It sucks. Just goes at him, you know.
And then it gets to,
you know, poor Nelson, but like, my kid's got issues, or he's got problems. Like,
yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, a lot of anger issues.
Yeah, he's from a very troubled home. Gotta nuke something.
Yeah. And then we cut over to Bart, and it's
classic Wheeler and Dealer.
Tree Card Monty, of course. Simpsons always get a lot of mileage out of Tree Card Monty.
Yeah, it's like, true.
Snake has had one before, or he will have one in the future. And I just love
name.
That whole idea.
Tree Card Monty.
Yeah. And then Skinner shows up. You know, it's a pick the red, get ahead. Pick the black, set you back. Skinner's like, I don't recall authorizing this boot.
Goodbye,
and
gentlemen.
And then Bart throws the smoke bomb. He throws the smoke bomb.
I like the
for years. Go on, sir.
I like the little touch of like Willie just selling haggis. it's the classic Scotsman thing to do, like good old fashioned stereotypes.
Just with that one there before we jump off, Bart, for years I always thought the joke was that he throws the smoke bomb and supposedly disappears.
Yeah.
But then you hear the cough, and I thought it was like Bart has disappeared. He's just invisible, but that's him coughing.
Oh.
There, but it's actually like some student or somebody just standing there like, uh-huh.
But isn't it that he actually goes into the bin?
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Because, like, from what I saw, like, he throws the smoke and then you see his shadow, like, going into the bin. And then when the smoke clears, like, the bin lid is flapping. So he just scurried off into the bin. Like, that's what I thought. I'm pretty sure I've seen that.
I didn't notice that. It's not here in the script. So, I mean, whatever. So then we're over at Willie. You know,
get your haggis here.
And I love the... I like the idea of, because I used to love it. Is it Earthworm Jim that used to always go back to it?
Oh yeah,
the heart, lungs, and liver
of a boiled sheep, in its own stomach. Yeah, what a great show that was.
I've tried it before. It's pretty good.
Really?
I guess yeah.
Is it nice?
Yeah, I mean, I like meat. So.
Does it look gross when you're eating it?
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
Ugh, gay bear.
It's like. If you've had liver, liver for me is not a delicacy, but it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, I'm the same.
For a liver to a fucking salad.
I feel like we're getting off topic here.
Anyway, so then we're at the guess your age and weight stand.
I'd say 53 years old and 420 pounds.
You lose 36 and 239. And it's like he looks like really, oh my god.
Yeah, I know. And then one of our least favorite characters makes an appearance. Otto, man. He seems so 90s. I wonder how utilized Otto is in like modern day Simpsons. Because he's such a 90s stereotype.
I can't imagine they're doing a lot of episodes about him.
No.
Like, or maybe he's progressed, you know. He's now,
I doubt it.
Instead of heavy metal, he's what do they call that? Grime.
Grime. <yeah. laughs> What do they call that? Grime.
Yeah, I only found out about this at Electric Picnic. This is the thing. Grime music.
I don't even pretend to know what that is.
It's like that guy Stormzy and all that sort of
Lukaku.
It's. Yeah, Lukaku, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, so Otto is controlling the paralyzer, and Bart asks him, or he dares him, to make it go faster.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Then fucking hell, like
the thing flies off miles into the sky. Like, we're sure those kids are dead.
Yeah, that's a good joke. But like, I like as well. Then he's like, "I'll be in Mexico. They'll just if blows over."
Is McLean going to get a red here? Oh, sorry, I'm getting distracted.
Keep it together, can't we? Will
it? It's right here.
Yeah. We're on the blow, all right. Keep it together. So Milhouse goes into Jimbo's spook house. Oh boy, a spook house! And it's just the three bullies in there, and they take his money, I guess,
and beat him up.
Yeah. And he leaves, right? And Bart asks him, "Was it scary?" And then he just lets Bart go in, like,
yeah, in you go.
I can only assume the bullies are like, "Don't tell anyone,
yeah,
or we're gonna break into your house and murder your family." Like,
these kids, no other such a harrowing childhood when you scratch through the surface. Nelson, yeah. Millouts.
Yeah.
And then basically the same thing happens to Bart.
Yeah. Ooh, baby. So then we flash over to the caricature stand.
I think as well, before we actually continue, we should just play the clip and then we can analyze it, because I've got a brief clip about what happens here. And
perfect.
Here it is.
So, girly, you like roller skating?
No.
Yeah, everybody loves roller skating. Okay, you can turn around now.
Oh my god, I'm ugly.
I love that guy's voice who's doing the caricature. Like, so girly. So girly, you like roller skating? And basically Lisa, as we saw, doesn't like how she looks in the picture and thinks that she's ugly. I just think, I don't know what it is. As soon as I hear that guy talk, and I'm just like, I'm just laughing. He's just got one of them voices. Like,
he's one of my favorite characters that, like, recurring. Yeah, like, he had every job under the sun.
Yeah.
In the Simpsons universe.
Like, usually a mechanic.
Yeah, or, you know, he was, at one point, he was under the carpet.
Oh yeah,
and Bart, he was like, you know, yeah. So I guess next we're over to the raffle, and you see the remnants of that crash in the background of the school. Yeah. Like, which I think is a great little touch. Yeah. Like, smoking coming out of it. And Skinner will be raffling off a ride on the famous Duff beer blimp. And then Homer imagines a great little guy here, I thought, Homer, when he's in the blimp.
Yeah, just imagining himself in it.
Let's see what's happening at the Super Bowl. Like, Homer, Homer, Homer. And they all flip over their cards.
Yeah. One guy.
It's like, there's one that's not flipped over. It's like, oops.
Sorry.
And it's like, it's his picture on it there.
I do like as well, even before they get to the Super Bowl, the helicopter pilot is like, "You see the circular pattern on those fields? That's from central irrigation." Like, the most boring ride.
Yeah. So Skinner is going to give off a shoe buffer as runner-up prize, and Flanders, our favorite, is the recipient of it.
His reaction.
Homer's not happy. He says, "Oh, it's not fair. We'll never have a buffer." And Marge says, "We have one at home. You never use it." And he's, "Well, I want that one." Real pouty.
Yeah, like a child.
And then the winner of the blimp ride is Homer Simpson.
Oh my god.
Now, I want to talk about Homer's face here when he does that. And it's like his eyes almost pop out of his head, but they go in like opposite directions. Like, he goes like reverse cross-eyed.
I love that look. I didn't notice, but I noticed a few other times in this season Like, their eyes do look massive sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely one
you
of
know, them. It's not an exact science, I guess.
No.
It's animation. So then we're back at the house, and Homer is singing to himself. Hey there, Blimpy boy, fly into the sky so fancy free. And then we get to Lisa.
Crying.
And she's crying.
Kids.
She's asking Homer, does she think she's ugly? And I kind of, this is what all the time when it's a Lisa episode. And Homer tries to reassure her.
She's always kind of mean.
And she just hasn't. She's just, yeah, no, no. You're like,
yeah.
I have no patience for it.
Me too. You and me both.
Yeah. So,
and plus, this is actually like one of those episodes where Homer, because we've been criticizing Homer a lot the last few episodes, but like, yeah. He's actually stepping it up in this one.
He's a good family man in this episode.
Yeah.
Homer says it's just how she would look if she was a cartoon character. She says, I'm an Ugmo.
Huh.
And Homer says, that's not true. You're cute as a bug's ear. And she says, fathers have to say that. To which Homer replies, no, they don't. And then Grandpa's walking by and he said, Dad, am I cute as a bug's ear? He said, no, you're homely as a mule's butt.
What an insult.
I think it's his own.
You're homely as a mule's butt.
What a great little cameo by Grandpa. I look forward to getting into some of his stuff.
Yeah, he gets some really good stuff in there.
Yeah. And then she wants to be left alone and have a cry.
Yeah.
Cut over to Homer at Moe's. And he asks, Moe, have you ever felt unattractive?
Not for a second.
That's Barney. Oh, damn it. That's Barney's response. And then you guys had a massive burn.
And then, now, I think before we go any further, we should play the clip, because this is where Homer gets the idea of a way to cheer up Lisa, I guess. So let's listen.
I need help.
Wee! 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 Wee!
I guess every father thinks his daughter is the cutest.
Well, now there's a way to prove it.
Wow, President of Laramie Cigarettes, Jack Larson.
This year, Laramie is sponsoring the Little Miss Springfield pageant. You see, government regulations prohibit us from advertising on TV. Ah, that sweet Carolina smoke. But they can't prohibit us from holding a beauty pageant for little girls age 7 to 9.
Lisa's age 7 to 9?
Your daughter could be crowned Little Miss Springfield by our host, the Mater D of Glee, Krusty the Clown.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
I can't tell you how much I actually laughed out loud at that, at the start of that ad. Where the kid, it doesn't even capture it in audio as good as it should, but like, the kid just stays up in the air off camera. Wee!
So Homer, you know, it's also in that clip, it's a great first showing of Krusty in this episode. And he gets a lot of good stuff this week, but I like the way he described them. The Mater D of Glee, Krusty the Clown. And then it cuts to stock footage of Krusty. I hardly endorse this event or product. great stuff.
Plus, I'm also a big fan of the your man, the Laramie Cigarettes guy.
Love that voice.
Is it Jack Larson?
Yeah,
Jack Larson. This year, Laramie is sponsoring the Little Miss Springfield pageant. There's something about that voice.
Pretty good, man. So then Homer wants to sell his blimp ticket for $250, which Barney readily pulls out
straight away in cash.
Homer asks where he gets it, and he said, since they stopped testing on animals, a guy like me can really clean up. And you see all these wires, tubes coming from the back of his head.
And then is the next part where he's actually trying to tell Lisa that he's
the next part is the project. is Lisa is at the table with Marge, and she tries to sing the ugly ducksing, the ugly duckling song, easy for me to say, to cheer her up, and she snaps at her and says, "You think I'm ugly?" And then Marge comes back. Great little gag here from Marge. "I meant you were one of the good looking ducks that makes fun of the ugly one." And then Homer enters. And asks if she could have one wish, what would it be? She says she wants to shut herself off from the world, never be seen by human eyes again. And he said, would the second one be to be entered into the Little Miss Springfield pageant? Which is, I think it's a nice gesture. And she freaks out, like.
Yeah, little bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't do it. Yeah. Again, get a lot of that in the first bit of this episode. Again, I've no patience for
it. No, me neither. Especially not in animation.
No.
But I like the fact that he's still, like, his heart's in the right place, and like, yeah, early absolutely. In the episode, which is a rarity. Like, he's
just normally like the last minute one. Change. It's normally the last minute switch.
Where he's saying, "No, I don't care. She's beautiful, etc., etc." So then Marge, I guess, sees that. Okay, his heart's in the right place. And again, actually, I was gonna say Bart in this scene. I thought, like, oh, fucking Bart, but then I do actually really like some of the motions that he's doing, where he's like, he's gonna, like, hubba hubba and all this, but the best one is, like, the silent one where he takes his shoe and just starts hitting himself over the head, and nothing said, just a big smile on his face.
That ends with the glass of water. I like the next line as well, where Homer's like, "Nobody's prettier than my little girl." And she's like, "You're looking at him through your father's eyes." He's like, "Well, if I could gouge out somebody else's eyes and shove them in my own sockets, I would." Pretty extreme.
Yeah.
A Marge goes up and sort of convinces Lisa to go to the pageant by saying that Homer sold his ride on the Duff Blimp. And Lisa says, "That meant everything to him." Cut to Homer, like, depressed as fuck with, like, a pickle, singing his Blimpy Boy song. I think he, like, drops it in a glass of milk or something. Just breaks down sobbing.
Yeah.
Poor Homer. So then we go over to the tryouts, I guess, or whatever, the hall for the Little Miss Springfield pageant. And Lisa is beside these two broads. I really like these characters, to be honest.
Like the little, like, jabs. It's like, whoa, if you're going to binge, you better purge.
Yeah. Every dance season.
I also really like the line where she's like, "Eyelash implants." It's like, I thought those were illegal. Not in Paraguay.
Yeah, I like that. In the same week, she was Pork Princess and Little Miss Kosher. So then Lisa's back at home and she's saying there's no way she can beat this girl. She's the Jack Nicklaus of the beauty or the pageant circuit. And I love Marge with her glass of wine. "Oh, I don't know about that. She's as attractive as Jack Nicklaus. I meant because they both win all the time." Mom's like, "Oh yeah, that's what I meant too." And you just see her, like, fantasizing around him putting.
It's arguably one of the very first, like, genuinely good Marge, like, funny Marge moments that I can remember.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where she's actually the one making the joke.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about what is going on with Bart in this episode, because Marge says, "Oh, I'll take you to the beauty parlor and show you how lovely you can be," and then Bart is like, "I'll teach you the tricks of the trade: taping your swimsuit to your butt, petroleum jelly on your teeth for the frictionless smiles, like, and the ancient art of padding." Now, what the hell is going on with him? Like, how does he know all this?
I don't know. Like,
later you'll see him, like, strutting around in a pair of high heels.
Super feminine.
Yeah. Which is completely at odds with his, like, think of the first episode, Camp Krusty.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, war child.
Yeah. I always... Was there ever, like... You know the way they had, like, a Family Guy like, oh, Stewie's gay, and then they just kind of made him gay? Has there ever been any sort of rumblings about Bart, that Bart might be gay?
The only one I can think of was when he was... When Lisa was going to go to, like, the Krusty anniversary show.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll go as you, Lisa. I'll pretend. It's like, what if he wants to put a hand on something? I'm okay with that.
Like, what if he wants to
put a kiss? Like, Lisa, there's no limits to what I won't do to go to this show.
Like, yeah, so that's true.
That's, you know, that's the only other thing I could think of.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember having that thought in this episode as well. I'm like, geez, Bart's really owning it.
Yeah, owning it, yeah. Very 2018. He's so far ahead, he's next year.
Plus, I don't know, like, I was surprised to hear the line, taping your swimsuit to your butt. Like, just didn't sit well.
I guess the thing.
You know, for kids ones, though?
No, I mean, it's a weird fucking thing. This whole episode is
weird.
Yeah. Like, if you remember, like, South Park did the kids episode.
That's so funny.
And that, you know, that for me is very fitting.
That's basically what it is. They're just creepy in general, like.
Yeah. I think it's just really weird. Like. Anyway, Lisa is over at the beauty parlor.
Oh, yeah.
She is upside down in like stocks or something and cucumbers on her face. She asks if they're done, and the French, I guess he's a hairstylist.
Yeah.
He's, we are just warming up. And he lights like a blowtorch. And I like that line as well. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I like the fact that they go through all the different hairstyles. And like, yeah, they just end up settling with like her hair, but just with a little curl at the end or something.
Like a bit more of a starfish. Like. And I believe you're going to play us something of when Lisa and Marge come back.
From yeah, we'll play the clip and then we will go through it. I think this is a great one.
Yeah.
Boy, when Lisa comes in, I want you to make a big fuss over how she looks.
She'll see through me like Grandma's underpants.
No, she won't. When it comes to compliments, women are ravenous, blood-sucking monsters, always wanting more. More! More! And if you give it to them, you'll get plenty back in return.
Like what?
I'll tell you when you're older. Is that Lisa? Ooh, I gotta call heaven. There's an angel missing.
And who's your little school friend? Wait a minute. That's Mom!
Oh my goodness, how good.
Nice, thank you.
I know two fellows who are gonna get a special dinner tonight.
Hey!
Woohoo! Dad, do you know anything else about women?
Nope, that's it.
Do you have a favorite part of that clip?
It's Marge and Lisa's reaction. Where it's just like, oh my, seeing all this. Like, they're so flattered. Like, it's so funny. Like, it just works so well. It's like, I know two fellas who are going to get a special dinner tonight.
I really like the line of when Homer tells him to make a big fuss. It's Bart. It's like, she'll see through me like Grandma's underpants.
Yeah. It's like, when it comes to compliments, women are ravenous, blood-sucking monsters, always wanting more.
And then he's, you know, I like that. It's like, I'll tell you when you're older. Like, yeah. Mowing the lawn from. I like that.
I love the way loads of Homer's fantasies just involve him lying on a hammock while Marge does manual labor around him.
And then he asks him. Oh no, then the next clip, the next scene is Bart.
In the ice cream.
Using his newfound knowledge. The ice cream. Bart. I love your one. Hey, brush head, you've been nursing that thing for an hour.
I don't remember that. Brilliant. Brush head.
Yeah. And she's like, I was just wondering how someone who works at an ice cream store keeps such a trim figure. I misjudged you. Brings over this Like, it looks like a bowl of vomit with like a cherry on top. Like
100 people couldn't finish it.
Yeah. So then we shoot over to rehearsals.
Oh, I love this scene.
One of the best lines in the history. It always, I don't know why, it always sticks out for me. But it's just
can great. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Can you pull it off?
Go I said step, pause, turn, pause, pivot, step, step. Not step, pause, turn, pause, pivot, step, pause. Oh, shudder.
Very nice. That's so funny.
I like then they are rehearsing her victory speech.
Bart turned on again.
Yeah, absolutely. The winner is Lisa Simpson. Says, wipe away a tear, hug the loser. And now walk down the runway, which Lisa can't do. So then Bart slips into the heels. Says, heel, toe, heel, toe.
For whatever reason, that scene where Bart's walking with the heels gone heel, toe, stuck.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always remember that scene when I was a kid. I don't quite know why. I guess it's because like if ever I see women in high heels, I guess they all have to walk heel, toe, like heel, in that toe. Episode. I mean, I don't understand how anyone can wear high heels anyway, but, you know, what's the point? Anyway, So yeah, of course, Bart, hey, I'm starting to think I can win.
Yeah. So, and Bart tells Lisa, a nice little capper to it, Bart tells Lisa, he's not ugly.
Nice man.
Yeah, whatever. Next is, you know, we actually get the start of the Little Miss Springfield pageant.
Big fan of the opening song.
Really, yeah?
Well, it's more just the opening. It's like, out on our own, making it work, gasping for air, having it all, gasping for air.
Yeah. And they, you know, they introduce a few people in between. Amber Dempsey's there. She wants, when she grows up, she wants to be a sweetie pie.
Applause.
Now, let me try and not butcher this. Pahasatira Nahasapimapetalon. I assume it's Apu's niece,
yeah.
Sanjay's daughter. She'll be playing MacArthur Park on the tabla. And they're like, I love Apu. Yes, judges, that's your queen.
He's watching the Quickie Mart. Like, they both, like, huh?
Again, I love they get some real gold out of the Quickie Mart antics. Like,
yeah.
And you see the guys are like, they're stealing the squishy machine.
It's taking the whole thing. It's always those three as well.
Yeah, got it.
I love the fact that like the whole thing is going on, and then Krusty runs in.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Krusty, about time you got here.
Yeah, what is this? The Republican fundraiser? He's like, Krusty comes out. Which one will it be?
Brilliant.
Oh, brisket's not sitting right.
That's, I think, as well, one of my favorite things about The Simpsons is those little, like, even though we can hear him, like, Krusty talking to himself, like, it's almost like he's in a monologue, but it's out, where he's always like, and now it's time to, it's like, talk to the audience, like, oh, this is always death.
I like how when, I'm just going to call her Sanjay's daughter, because she's singing her thing, and Krusty, he's like, oh, and I just kept going, huh? And now here's Lisa Simpson. And, you know, this bugged me when she's like, people say to love your country is old-fashioned, uncool, real Melvin.
Like, ooh, I hated it. I hated everything about it. I hated the intro. I hated the song.
She sings National Anthem, then goes into a bit of Proud Mary.
Ugh.
Back to Krusty.
Krusty's bit. I don't know why I got such a kick out of this
joke. I love it.
He's like, hilarious. This is my favorite part of the badge because, what does that say? He's like, gives me a chance to visit the girl's personality. Personally. He's just completely phoning it in.
I love how he gives this complete softball to Amber as well. Do you think the Bill of Rights is a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah.
Take your time, dear. It's a good thing. And then it's now it's time to name a runner off who, if the winner doesn't fulfill her duties, and don't say it'll never happen because we all remember that thing with what's her name. Click, click. You know. Did you know what this was referring to?
No.
See, I knew it was something, and Faye asked me what it was. I didn't know, but I looked it up. Apparently, Vanessa Williams won Miss Universe or whatever, one of those things, or Miss America pageant. But somebody sold pictures of her to like Penthouse, like against her wishes or whatever like that. Like,
hence the click, click.
She was stripped of the title. It's a load of bollocks, like.
Yeah, like. Really. What difference?
It's all a lot of bollocks.
Like, yeah, the whole thing is. I like the fact when he announces who it is that he's like, the runner up is Lisa Simpson, which means Amber Dempsey. Straight away, didn't even get a chance to say straight away, Lisa Simpson. Again,
we get into the great, great song. I love it.
Lisa Simpson, which means Amber Dempsey is the new Little Miss Springfield.
Losers in her wake, aye, the income she will make. T is for her two-filled mouth. T is for her two-filled mouth.
I like, they're back in the Simpson household.
Yeah.
Coming up next, a new fad that's sweeping the nation. Throwing out food.
I love that. Just dumping a turkey into a bin.
Yeah. I really like the look of that character. Like, I don't know why, but just like...
The big shit-eating grin on his face.
He's like wearing a blue sweater and he's just like big smile on his face.
Just
he's
tipping the turkey into the bin.
into I don't know, is he in a back alley somewhere? Just his can. And... I like it's not Ken Brockman that's on the desk here. It's the other one, the backup guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was named. And I was like, wouldn't it be Kent Brockman?
Yeah, why isn't it Kent Brockman?
Wouldn't the other guy be like the roving reporter? Kent Brockman is at the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Amber Dempsey, she opens up Danish super chain shop, which I thought was quite ahead of its time almost.
Yeah. Like,
from the mayor's illegitimate son to our own Duff Blimp, everyone is here. I love how it's like, cut to the Duff Blimp.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Drive?
Well, I can't see the harm.
I can't see that. It like blows it up. Brockman, oh, the humanity. Anyway, turn on the store, severe tire damage spikes. Here's Little Miss Springfield.
I guess there's a laugh out of that. Oh, the humanity. Anyway,
I love it's Marge. She's like, oh, I'd hate if that pretty dress got wet. I'd say the greater danger is her scepter acting as a lightning rod. That's made out of plastic. It's like, nope.
Good lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, Little Miss Springfield has been struck by lightning.
Luckily, she already won the Miss Intensive Care pageant.
Yeah. So Lisa is getting sworn in by Krusty. I like how the scepter is like all melty. Krusty, being the maitre d' of Glee that he is keeps pulling it away.
Just kidding. Here you go. I deserve that.
Like 3 or 4 times and then gets struck by lightning himself.
I like the statue that they unveil of Lisa is at the Springfield with like this like butch body or something. This woman's like massive shoulders.
So square. That doesn't look like her body.
Torso used to be Dr. Root.
Her head is on a pike in the Chamber of Horrors. Now, we cut to Lisa walking through the cafeteria, right?
Yeah.
And she says, oh, hey, fellas. And the guys are whistling. And Ralph Wiggum.
So out of context for him.
It's like, that one of the guys like, love that chewing gum walk. And it's like, very Wrigley. And the only thing I had to say about it was like, at least they got his fucking voice right this time.
Yeah, true. You know? There was a lot of messing around back then.
Yeah. Remember, there was an episode where it was like, I don't know, I can't really remember the exact quote, but then it was like, she's a wild one or something. And then it's like, Ralph's like, yes, but what man could tame her?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what the hell? Like,
sorry, who's that?
Yeah.
But what that Ralph could isn't? Tame her?
What man could tame her?
Brilliant.
So we're over to the port, and Lisa is welcoming people to America, the land of opportunity. And Chief Wiggum is there to inform her that actually they're being deported.
Someone's playing a sad song on the violin.
Yeah, great little gang.
I was a big fan of her other one with the
Bob Hope.
Yeah, with Bob Hope. I love the fact that before he goes out, he's like, what's the mayor's name in this town?
Like Quimby. Beautiful. Hello, this is Bob. What the hell am I doing, Springfield Hope?
It's a good impression.
Like, how about that Mayor Quimby, huh? He's some golfer. His golf ball spends more time on the water than Greg Louganis. You see the lads like, he's like, I want to show you what you're fighting for. If there was a war on. Little Miss Springfield. Isn't she beautiful?
Little Miss Springfield.
Little Miss Springfield. And then Snake for some reason.
Yeah, of course.
But not Snake. Snake's voice, but it's some pimply runt. First Tony Randall cancels, now this. Did you get what the reference to this was?
No.
Okay, well, you've probably never seen the film. Apocalypse Now.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they used to do these like USO shows for people when they're like the guys overseas.
All right.
They'd bring a band and they bring a comedian over and do a show for them to keep their spirits up. Like, and in Apocalypse Now, it's like they, I don't know if it is Bob Hope or whatever, but it's somebody and these two or three, it's like Miss America or these three models, and all the soldiers there go crazy and start trying to get onto the stage and get at the girls. Like, yeah. So they have to like get away in helicopters. So that's what that is.
Yeah, very good.
I like how when they're flying away, he's like, hey, set me down in that boat. So we're running through Lisa's tenure. I actually always had in my head that she was Little Miss Springfield
for longer. Me too. Like I was only just thinking that.
Like a couple of scenes.
It's like 16 minutes into the episode of like 22 minutes, and it's like she's all. It's only then she's Beauty Queen. I thought it was the start of the episode.
So your man is asking her to ride on a pack of cigarettes.
That voice again. He's like, we think you're the perfect spokesmodel for Laramie's. He's like, it's been an unlucky year for Laramie. A lot of people who smoke our product have been, well, dying. And we need young smokers to take their place.
So Lisa, well, that's very good. Lisa is one of the spokesperson for a cigarette company. And they said, oh, well, you need a new smoke model. I think you're retiring. Menthol.
Brilliant. Love that character.
I love the next bit as well with Homer is watching these men march along. Bless you, boy. Yeah. Homer, those are ice cream men. It's like, I know.
It's a real Homer gag.
Yeah, and then, you know, Lisa's throwing out, or the moose is throwing out cigarettes. These parents, by the way, they're just letting their kids... What
backwards town is this? Like, 20 babies have cigarettes in their mouth.
Yeah. It's like, stop this float. Lisa's tired of being corporate. She, I love how Santa crashes into the back. What's the hold? Go!
And poor menthol moose just repeatedly getting trampled.
Yeah. So it's kind of jumps around here. Lisa's
quickly putting the town to rights.
Yeah, she's going to speak out against the evils of society, from dog napping to cigarettes. And then it cuts to she's at the football game. Before she sings the national anthem, she'd like to say that college football diverts funds badly needed for education and the arts. Which the three nerds.
Attack of the nerds. Saying,
Is that true? Let's get him.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. It's like the newspaper the next day, it's like the sub headline is like, nerds crushed in football stampede.
I love those headlines.
This next part is... this is what I always remember this episode for. I think it's like my favorite.
Should we play the clip first and then discuss it?
Yeah, because I think it's fantastic.
Gentlemen, we need to get Lisa Simpson out and Amber Dempsey back in. But this glorified crossing guard of a police chief won't get off his big fat can.
Is it okay if I open these potato chips?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, our prayers have been answered. Take a look at our little Miss Springfield's pageant application.
Roxy, bring in a bottle of champagne.
And some dip for these chips. Something.
Lisa Simpson is no longer Little Miss Springfield. She was stripped of her crown in a ceremony earlier today.
Top quality stuff. Is it okay if I open these potato chips?
This glorified crossing guard of a police chief will get off his big fat can.
I just love the idea of... these backroom meetings
that I know
be going on.
It's always like underground or something.
I love the dynamic between Quimby and Wiggum, which you don't see as the show goes on so much.
I think that would have been a good arc to keep going. That just like, I know they occasionally mention it, but to have more of like Quimby is like just constantly on Wiggum's case or something like that.
Yeah, I remember the whole thing where it was like, if you don't write a check, but you can't cash, Quimby, or whatever it is. And he's like, if you back me, I'll back right back at you. They're going like really head to head.
And the fact that they just basically make Mayor Quimby like John F. Kennedy, that voice.
Roxy, bring in a bottle of champagne.
So
and some dip for these chips or something.
I also liked as well when they're going through it. It's like the fact that like you don't even see what they see. It's just like, Roxy, send in a bottle of champagne. It's like it's so important to them.
Yeah. And then you know it was a great little. I mean, they kind of written themselves into a corner in that. Like you're saying, it was late in the episode when they get to Lisa being, you know, trouble for them,
yeah,
per se, for these higher-ups. Like, how are they going to get out of it? It's like, oh, Homer's complete idiocy. Like, oh, like, he wrote, do not write in this space. Like, okay.
Do you think that was a bit of an easy out?
I think it was an easy out, but also it was quite clever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it doesn't, it's not like, what was I watching? I watched one fairy there recently. It was on TV, and it was just like, oh well, like let's just hit the reset button. But it wasn't done particularly well. It's like it's just lazy writing.
Yeah.
Whereas that one there, it's a bit more graphed. There's a bit more.
Yeah.
sharpness.
It's a bit more believable, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, it's in keeping with Homer's character.
Yeah.
That he would be that stupid. Yeah.
And then I was a fan at the end of the episode of like Kemp Brockman. They're always, he's always trying to show a clip, and they keep showing a goat drinking milk from a bottle. Like, that's clearly the wrong clip. They just keep doing it.
And then it's like, Homer, she asks, Homer says, will you remember this next time I ruin your life?
Yeah.
She says, it's a deal. And then it's like, and now my exclusive interview with His Holiness Pope John Paul I. The goat again. That's it. I cannot work under these circumstances. I'll be downstairs at McDougal. Call me Gengar. I don't care. Okay. And that's how the episode ends.
That
wraps it up quite nicely.
Like, I did think, though, I have to say, I was like, this is probably, it's between this one and Camp Krusty so far that are my two favorites. But
yeah,
I did think that this one was a bit light on, like, I don't know, it seems quite rushed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, but like,
there was a lot of story they had to fit in. Like,
seems like they did a lot of squeezing in, like the last 4 minutes. You know, she practically gets the prize 4 minutes before the end, and then she has to do all the stuff where she's to set the town to rights and be good and all this sort of stuff. Like, I was surprised that they didn't do it sooner, because I thought it seemed like the sort of episode that they would have Lisa spend longer, you know, trying to do right. Like, the whole thing probably lasts like a minute and a half. They just did one after another. You know what I mean? Like, it was still very good, but I just remember thinking at times, like, oh, it's over. I was like, I thought it was just getting started. Yeah.
I think we are getting there to it being, I guess, like, jokes per minute, like you're talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
You know, they're starting to find their stride. There's a few more coming up the list where I think it's really boom, boom.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And for me, like, it doesn't really take away from the episode. I guess we should actually get into ratings before we start going through this so much.
Ratings.
Ratings?
Ratings.
How do you find the defendant?
He's guilty of...
How many... Let me think of this. How many melted Little Miss Springfield scepters would you give this out of 10?
I would give it 7 sizzling scepters out of 10. I think...
7?
Yeah, I think... I can't actually remember my ratings for the other episodes, but it's definitely... I think as far as big laughs go, the episode that gave me the most sort of big laughs. And I don't mind that it seemed like it wasn't even like light on the heart side, because the whole thing with Homer was,
it was actually probably the most heartfelt.
Yeah, but I think there was something like, it's not like, it wasn't the heart that was lacking, it wasn't the comedy that was lacking. I think it was just the only thing, if I could, just because we're talking about, you know, breaking it down, if I had a negative, I guess it would be, I guess, the layout or the structure of the story or something like that. Yeah, it's not a massive one. Like, I would take laughs over anything else, you know, so I'll still, you know, so it's still good. But I don't know, if I had to nitpick, that's what I'd nitpick about it. How about
what I liked about it?
How many would you give it?
I would give it an 8. I think.
Okay. Sizzling?
And I think, I give it 8. Click. out of 10. What I liked about it is it's a lot of good stuff consistently. Like, it starts off great little set piece with Skinner. You know, you're going on to a few bits like to do with like the whole the start of the pageant.
Yeah.
You get Krusty in there.
It was funny right out of the gate this week.
And it was just, I just liked the whole episode all the way through.
Yeah.
It was consistently all the way through.
This was the episode that had the least amount of lulls, like, of the four that we've watched so far.
It was just consistent. Who would you have for MVP?
I would have to have the president of Laramie Cigarettes.
Jack Larson.
Jack Larson. I just think he's so funny. Like, he's such an obvious bad guy, but like, I just love those characters in The Simpsons. Who would yours be?
I think Krusty.
Yeah.
He just had all the best. You know, he just had all the sort of best bits.
Yeah.
So he, for me, would be the man, I guess.
Yeah. Krusty always delivers.
Yeah. He just had, like, you know, for showing up right on the button, like, and I actually didn't talk about it. And like, he has his bow tie undone from the get go. Like,
you just wonder, like, what's going on the rest of his life. So it's just like, barely on time.
Where is he coming from?
Like, yeah.
Where is he coming from? Yeah. What is this? The Republican fundraiser?
But yeah, I have to say, all in all, it was. I thinking about it now, I may even put it ahead of Camp Krusty. As far as my so far the episodes that we've watched, I would definitely.
Oh my!
And plus, it was very fresh as well, because I guess normally I'd stayed away from it all these years because I had Lisa in the title, but
yeah,
I have to say it was very good.
Well, I mean, like I was saying, there is a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff coming up. So,
what episode is coming up next?
The next episode is.
I've got it here. Shall I?
Okay, yeah.
The Hold on, let me go. Treehouse of Horror 3.
Ah, nice.
And just in time as well. Treehouse of Horror.
Oh my god.
Halloween.
I love you, Homer.
Oh, is it that one as
I'm
well?
I'm Krusty the Clown. And I'm gonna kill you.
Brilliant. Love that one. There's so many good ones. I'm actually just reading the plot here as we're speaking.
Yeah. Over.
Brilliant. Well, I don't know if you have anything else to add before we close up show.
Maybe like the podcast.
Please like, rate, comment.
Give us a review on iTunes.
We're on iTunes.
If you have any,
we're also on basically any podcast app. If you just search Put It In H, you'll find us. And we are getting closer to doing our weekly episodes.
If you have any feedback or you want to send us a mail or anything, it's putitinhpod@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on Twitter at Put It In H Pod, all with underscores, is our username, which I'll be honest with you, I'm probably going to change.
Fix that. I'm probably going to change. For fuck's sake. Like, every time with the Twitter.
Hey, man, I know exactly what I'm doing. This is all just part of our social media strategy.
So it's like put_it_in_.
I'll put a link in the description. Save your search. But I look forward to the Treehouse of Horror 3. It's our first Halloween one that we've done right at Halloween.
Wow.
How about that? It's fate. Kishman.
Bingo. Julie is on the course. You truly are the king of kings.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. And
we will see you next time.
Boom.